Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a Closer Look True Crime Podcast, or welcome if you are new. Today we're covering a case that I have wanted to cover for over a year now, and it's been on that list, and it's a very covered case, and that is the case of Madeline McCann. I'm very, very excited to be covering this case today because it's one just like the JonBenet Ramsey case that I just am obsessed with. There's so many different possibilities, and I just really want to know what happened. It just puzzles me so much, and I think that it will be really interesting to you guys as well. I would be very surprised if you hadn't heard of this case at some point, but if you haven't, today you will. So without further ado, let's get right into today's case. So Madeline McCann was born on May 12, 2003, and was the oldest child to Kate and Jerry McCann. Both Kate and Jerry were Catholic and working as doctors at the time. They also had a set of twins who were two at the time, and Madeline was three. The McCanns lived in Rothley, Leicester, England, and on April 28, 2007, they planned to take a trip to Praia da Luz, Portugal. This was a very popular spot for people in England to travel, and they were very excited about the trip. They would be going on this trip with around seven other family friends and about eight other kids. They planned to stay at the Luz Ocean Club, which is essentially a bunch of condo apartments in a resort sort of format. The McCanns were staying in apartment 5A, one of their friends in 5B, one in 5C, and one in 5H. So they made it to Portugal safely and were having a great time. And one thing the parents would often do after the kids went to bed was have dinner at the resort's tapas restaurant. It was about 50 yards from their apartment. The tapas was on one side of the pool, and directly across on the other side of the pool was their apartments. They would leave the kids in the apartments and leave the glass sliding door unlocked, as it only locked from the inside, so they could pop in and check on them every half an hour or so. So on May 3rd, it was a pretty normal day on their vacation. The McCanns played in the pool, Jerry had a tennis lesson, Kate went running. It was just generally a pretty normal day. Then, like most other nights, after putting the kids to bed, the McCanns and their friends went over to the tapas restaurant around 8:35 to have dinner, and planned on checking on the kids every half an hour or so. Around 8:55, one of the parents named Matt checked on all of the kids. Everything looked fine, all the kids were asleep, so he went back to dinner. Then around 9:25, Jerry goes to check on Madeline and the twins. He went through the back door and noticed that the kids' bedroom door looked a little bit more open than when he had seen it last, but he didn't think much of it. All the kids were accounted for, everything was fine, so he went back to dinner. On his way back to the restaurant, Jerry ran into a friend he had made in the last few days on their vacation named Jeremy. They talked for several minutes, and while the two were talking, another parent, Jane Tanner, went to check on her children in her apartment. While walking to the apartment, she noticed a man walking along the road next to the resort carrying a child who was limp in his arms and was wearing pink pajamas, kind of like Madeline's. She later described him as a white, dark-haired, 5'7", Southern European or Mediterranean man. She believed he was about 35 to 40 years old and was wearing gold or beige trousers and a dark jacket. She also mentioned that he did not look like a tourist. She couldn't really see anything more in the dark, though, and figured it was just a parent carrying their sleeping child to their apartment. She checked on her kids in their apartment and everything was fine, so she went back to dinner and Jerry was there when she got back. Then a parent named Matthew went to check on everyone's kids about half an hour later. He peeped into the McCann kids' bedroom, but from the angle he was at looking in with the door half closed, he could see the twins sleeping, but he couldn't see Madeline in her bed. But because it was quiet, nobody was awake, nobody was fussing, he just figured it was fine and he didn't notice anything out of the normal, so he left the apartment and went to check on the other kids. Then at 10 p.m., Kate went to check on her kids. She didn't hear any fussing and could see the twins from the ajar door, so she went to fully close the bedroom door and noticed that it kind of slammed shut as if a window was open in the room. I'm sure you all probably know what I'm talking about, like when a window's open in a room and you go to close the door and the air has nowhere to escape and it creates like a suction and it slams the door. So Kate decided to go check it out and immediately noticed that the main waist-high window was wide open, curtains blowing in the breeze, twins were asleep, but Madeline was nowhere to be found. She immediately panicked and ran to tell everyone and just left the twins in the room, which is something the media really scrutinized her for, but I just feel like when you're in this panic mode, I'm not even sure if that would cross your mind. I think that she was just, where's Madeline? Like, I need to go tell everyone. She wasn't really thinking about the twins. And the first thing she said when she went to go find everyone was, they took her, they took her, which was another thing the media found really weird. And it just seems like a weird reaction to say they took her instead of she's gone, or Madeline isn't in her bed, or Madeline is missing. But I feel like a large majority of people can't really judge her behavior in these moments because I don't think there's really a way to truly understand how it feels to have a child go missing and to be in this situation unless it actually happens to you, and everyone responds differently. So it's interesting to think about, but I would just take it with a grain of salt. Jane immediately started connecting the dots in her head and told Kate about the man that she saw earlier carrying the child in pink pajamas. Everyone was in a panic. It made quite a scene and accumulated quite the crowd, which really contaminated the crime scene. The McCanns immediately called police and the search for Madeline began.
The anguish and despair that we are feeling as the parents of our beautiful daughter, Madeline. We request that anyone who may have any information related to Madeline's disappearance, no matter how trivial, contact the Portuguese police and help us get her back safely.
Thankfully, there were quite a few volunteers within the community in the apartment complex searching for Madeline, alongside the police and her family, of course. Unfortunately, the local police force wasn't super equipped for a situation like this because of the low crime rate in the area, but they were very determined and honestly trying their best to find Madeline. 8 hours after her disappearance, there was a possible sighting. A driver saw someone walking on the side of the road who was carrying a child and appeared to be trying not to be seen and not trying to draw attention to themselves. An Irish couple staying at the complex also came forward and said that they saw a man that night carrying a limp blonde child to the beach around the time that they believe she went missing. So at this point, the theory was that somebody came into the condo through the glass sliding door or the window and took Madeline. Except that night it was especially hot in the apartment and they didn't have air conditioning, so not only was the glass sliding door unlocked, but it was anywhere from a quarter to half the way open for the majority of the night. So it would have been very easy to go in the apartment, see that the parents were coming in and out and that there was children in there, and just go in right after Jerry left. It was also at this point that the case started getting a lot of media coverage and people were starting to criticize and question Kate and Jerry's parenting choices, which I completely understand because I was kind of questioning them too when I was doing my research for this case and when I heard of this case in the past. They were very confused why Jerry and Kate would have left two-year-olds and a three-year-old alone in an unlocked condo with the door open. And not even so much for the risk of abduction, but because there were so many other risks that came with leaving kids alone, such as choking, falling, them just leaving the apartment, etc. And I don't know, I guess maybe it was a different time, but I would never, ever leave three toddlers, three and under, for that long, under these circumstances, without supervision, with the door wide open, and it very obvious that there was children in there, that the door was open, and that anyone could go in, anyone could come out. I would never do that.
Obviously, the resort you were in had lots of nanny facilities, and they weren't that expensive to use, and you both were professionals earning money. Another criticism that's put to you is, why didn't you just pay to have a nanny if you wanted to go out for dinner?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a question of money. We did what we thought was best in the kids' routines, and I think as parents, we had a very good routine in terms of the whole bath, bed, story type thing. And I take your point, but for me, you know, if your children are asleep upstairs in a bedroom and you're dining in the garden, you're out of sight and you can't hear them. And that's the similar thing to me. We were.
Except I guess that most people's homes are secure.
Sure.
You know, this was not a secure property. People could come in and off the street if they wanted to. That's where the criticism, I guess, comes at its most fierce towards you is, you know, you're intelligent people.
Kate had also later mentioned to investigators that the morning of the day Madeline disappeared, she asked her mom why she hadn't come when they were crying the night before, and they could have just been crying because they woke up and their parents weren't there, but a lot of people have speculated that someone had come into the apartment trying to abduct them the night before and accidentally woke them up, so they decided to come back the next night instead. But honestly, I think that it's much more likely that they were just woke up confused out of their regular space and just wanted their parents. Earlier that day, two men had also knocked on the door of the McCanns' condo asking for money to donate to an orphanage, and witnesses said that they looked like they were checking out the apartment and kind of snooping around. A few days later, a trucker also called an anonymous tip line for missing children in Spain to report something he had seen. About 25 miles from the resort, the man had seen a blonde woman hand a child bundle up in blankets to a man who put the child in the back of his truck and drove away. And it's very possible that this could have been Madeline, as investigators interviewed this man and said he was a credible witness, but there's really no way to tell. Investigators also had found traces of blood on the children's bedroom wall, but they were eventually able to determine that it wasn't Madeline's and that it came from a man. They don't know who it came from, but it's very possible a prior tenant had been bleeding or something, and it just got on the wall and the cleaning staff missed it, but it's also interesting to think about in Madeline's case. Then as the case progressed, the first suspect arose. Remember when I spoke about Jane Tanner seeing the man carrying the child on the road? Well, police figured out that this was a man named Robert Murat. He was 33 years old at the time, a British-Portuguese man living near the McCanns' condo. He fit the description. However, they were eventually able to clear him as a suspect, as Jane had just seen him returning to his apartment after picking up his daughter from the Ocean Club night crochet that night. Then the second set of suspects we're going to be talking about is the McCanns themselves. They were eventually cleared as suspects, but for a while there, they were all anyone talked about in this case, and I feel like it would be interesting to talk about. The main reason people suspected them was that their behavior was incredibly odd after Madeline's disappearance. They never seemed to show any emotion, they didn't appear to be grieving, publicly at least. And experts have said that their body language, peculiar smiles after talking, and more lead them to believe that they weren't telling the complete truth about what happened that night. People have also speculated that the parents might have given the kids something to help them sleep so that they could go to dinner, like Benadryl or NyQuil or something like that. And maybe Madeline overdosed and they just didn't want to suffer the consequences, so they got rid of her. If this is the case, people believe that the man the Irish couple saw taking a limp child down to the water was actually Jerry getting rid of Madeline. Cadaver dogs also indicated two areas behind the bed, in the parents' closet and the trunk of their rental car, which is really interesting. And if you remember, Kate had also had that weird reaction to Madeline being missing, kind of like the reaction Patsy Ramsey had, saying they took her instead of Madeline is gone. However, it has been proven, and I'm not sure how, but it has been proven that the children were never drugged that night. There have also been many other suspects in between then and now, but none of them really led anywhere. Although in June of 2020, German authorities declared that their primary suspect was now a man in his mid-40s named Christian Bruckner. He is currently serving a 7-year sentence in German prison for the rape of a 72-year-old American woman that was staying at the resort that the McCanns were staying in 2005. He claims it would be absolutely absurd for him to abduct Madeline, as it would have risked his criminal life, and even if he did, he claims that he would never get caught because he, quote, followed a few key principles. And apparently he has been charged for her disappearance, but the charges are unknown, and whether he will be going to court for these said charges is also unknown. There is also, unfortunately, a chance that he will be able to escape these charges as the statute of limitations is close to expiring, which is so frustrating. I've talked about this in so many of my cases before. But as of right now, we just have to let it play out, and hopefully if he's Madeline's captor and possible killer, he will be brought to justice. So now that we've talked about suspects and the investigation, I would like to go over a few theories that I think are pretty likely. So the first and most obvious theory is that somebody abducted her. It's believed that it was either a planned abduction or a burglary gone wrong. And if you remember me mentioning earlier, there were those two sketchy men at the McCanns' apartment checking it out and asking for charity money the day of Madeline's disappearance. Maybe they were planning on robbing the apartment and Madeline woke up, so they took her and left the twins who didn't wake up. However, I think it's much more likely that it was a planned abduction. Kate says that she wrote down on their reservation slip or something for the Tapas restaurant every night that the kids would be left alone in the apartment and they would be going back and forth to check on them every half an hour or so, so they needed a table close to the doors. So she believes that it is a possibility somebody, either someone in the restaurant or a staff member, saw the reservation slip, saw the parents coming in and out of those apartments, and connected the dots. because honestly, their schedule was pretty obvious. All they would have to do is watch a few times to see how often the parents came back and go in the glass sliding door, which was open most of the time for the heat. And I believe that the intruder would have entered after Jerry left, because that's just what works best with the timeline and the witness sightings. And if you really think about it, this would have been the perfect place and the perfect opportunity to abduct a child like this. Parents were out having a few drinks, they weren't really paying attention to their kids, they were relaxed, not really in their normal parenting element, and they probably wouldn't notice anything suspicious happening inside the restaurant. So I think it's very possible that Madeline was abducted in this way. Then there is a theory that Madeline left the apartment herself and was abducted in the complex, or just wandered off and was later abducted, or something happened to her. Maybe Madeline was sick, or she just wanted her parents and she went out to go find them. And as I mentioned, the crime scene was seriously compromised from crowds of people trying to help and everyone going in and out of the apartment, so there weren't any footprints or fingerprints to work with, so we can't really tell if Madeline left. However, the biggest things that people have questioned was, how would a 3-year-old open the glass sliding door by herself? How would she suddenly become asleep when the Irish couple possibly saw her, and why was the window found open? As for the glass sliding door, if you remember me mentioning earlier, the door was open about a quarter of the way to half of the way almost the entire night, so Madeline could have easily just walked right out. And even if it was closed, I completely believe that she would be capable of opening it. I know that I definitely was capable of something like that when I was her age. Then as for her being seen unconscious, it's very possible that the wrong person saw her wandering around, knocked her out, and then was carrying her down to the beach. The Irish couple also could have just seen somebody carrying their child to the beach or carrying them to their house or whatever. As for the window, though, I honestly can't find an explanation that fits this theory, which is part of the reason I think the abduction from the apartment is much more likely. As for her abduction, police believe that she's either dead or in sex trafficking, which is something I've talked a lot about recently. It's very unfortunate, and the common truth behind a whole bunch of missing persons and missing children's cases especially, which is just heartbreaking. There are a few organizations, though, that are working really hard to bust these sex trafficking rings, and one of those really great organizations that a lot of people talk about, and it's the most well-known one, is Thorn, so I definitely recommend you check that out. And there also is the possibility that Madeline is still alive somewhere, and although it seems extremely unlikely, there was one girl who had a pretty good resemblance to Madeline who claimed that she was her. Her name was Julia Wendell, and she first became popular after posting videos on TikTok explaining why she believed she was Madeline. She has very few memories from her childhood. Her age lines up with Madeline's, and her eyes were very similar. Madeline had blue eyes with these unique brown specks close to her iris, and Julia shared those similar eyes. However, a DNA test recently proved that Julia has no British heritage and is 100% Polish, meaning she is not Madeline. And that's basically it. I wish I could tell you that Madeline's case was solved, or that there was more groundbreaking evidence, but I truly just can't. I'm hopeful that Christian's arrest will lead somewhere and that we will find out that he is the person behind this and he will be brought to justice, but as of right now, it's extremely hard to tell whether that's actually going to happen. Anyways, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you let me know what you thought of Madeline's case over on my Instagram in the post specifically dedicated to Madeline's case. I would love to hear your opinions. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and I hope to see you next Monday for another episode on A Closer Look True Crime Podcast.